The Bible says this, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. As you see behind me, the wood plaque above the baptistry is our theme word. It's the word continue. And we have been trying to focus a little bit this year and will on the thought of continuing, not quitting. Continuing, not quitting. Our theme verse is 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. If you have good eyes, you can see it up there on the plaque. The reference, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that was right after Paul was talking to Timothy about how bad the world's going to get in the last days. He said it's going to get real bad. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Don't stop just because the world's getting bad. Don't stop just because prophecy is being fulfilled and it doesn't seem like there's much we can do to stop it. Just continue. Continue right to the end. And he said, continue in the things which you have learned. Now, one of the things Paul told Timothy was to pray. And one of the things Paul taught Timothy was to pray. Have you ever studied the prayers of Paul in the New Testament? They're amazing. This guy was deep. He was deep into prayer. He wasn't surface praying stuff. Man, he was getting down and praying for people. I mean, really nitty gritty, praying for their needs, their spiritual needs, and so on and so forth. Study the prayers of Paul. The Holy Spirit took diligence to record them for us. And so Paul told Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing whom thou hast learned them of. In other words, as I have taught you things, continue in them. And here he says to the Colossians, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And I want to speak about that subject for a little while this morning. On this topic, what happened when people prayed continually? What happened when people prayed continually? And I want to show you four historic examples, if time permits, of just amazing things that happened when people prayed continually. Sadly, the average prayer life of many believers is dormant until they go to a camp meeting. And somebody preaches a fiery sermon on prayer, and then they go forward to the altar, and they say, I got to get back to praying, and they start praying for a few days, and then it goes dormant. Then a few months later, maybe the pastor preaches on prayer, and they hit the altar, and they start praying again, and then their prayer life goes dormant. Then an evangelist comes through, and he preaches on prayer, and they start praying again, and then their prayer life goes dormant. They have a prayer time in the morning, maybe for a little while in their prayer closet, but then they get too busy and that kind of disappears. And then somebody preaches on prayer and they get back to praying. And it's a start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop of type of a discipline in many believers' lives. But the Bible says here, continue in prayer. We have got to get to the point of maturity where we're going to pray during the good times. That's when you know your prayer life's right with God, when you pray during the good times. When you're healthy, when you got money, when the family's fine, but you still say, I need to pray. Our prayer life should be continuous, not starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. For many others, they're so far to the extreme of that. I'm glad for those that start and stop and start and stop and start and stop. I'm glad for that. But there's some where prayer only comes into their life during an emergency. Prayer to them is like a spare tire in the trunk of their car. Out of sight, out of mind, until you need it. And an emergency comes up and you say, man, I hope my spare tire has air in it. You forget all about the thing. You hardly even know how to get at it. You don't know how to use the jack or anything, or the tire iron, but there it is, and you go, wow, there's air in it. A lot of times that's how people approach God. He's out of sight, out of mind. But boy, if there's an emergency, I hope he comes through for us. Some people, prayer is like a fire extinguisher, just out of the way, in the corner, not quite sure where it is, collecting dust. But boy, if there's a fire, man, I hope this thing works. We need to quit treating prayer that way. We need to quit treating God that way. We need to get into a life where these three words are obeyed. Continue in prayer. Now, you're becoming a man of God and a man of prayer, or a woman of God and a woman of prayer, when you pray during the good times. When you pray during the best times of your life because somebody else needs your prayers. And it's not about you. It's about them. And that's where we need to get. Continue in prayer. And I hope to whet your appetite to continue in prayer. I just want to bring out a couple of historical examples of what happened when people did continue in prayer. I hope you someday become incurably addicted to prayer. We need to get to that point in our Christian growth. I think it's got to start with discipline, but man, I don't know when it was, 30, 32 years ago, I just started taking the first hour of my life every day, going into a prayer closet alone, wherever it might be, a spare bedroom or something, closing the door, locking it, getting on my knees, telling my wife, telling my kids when they were in my home growing up, if anybody calls, don't bother me, I'm talking to God, they're not as important as he is. And I am incurably addicted to that habit at this point in my life. I wouldn't think of starting a day without private prayer time with God. And we need to get to that point, and I'm not the greatest example of prayer, but I'm telling you something, God has blessed the continuity of prayer in my life. Our Lord said that if you go into a closet secretly and close the door behind you and pray to your God in secret, he will reward you openly. And there's times where I feel like I'm the richest man on earth. Because there's some things that are far more valuable than money, or stocks and bonds and investments and so on and so forth. There's things money can't buy. And I feel rich in those areas, and I think it's because of a continuous prayer life that I'm just not going to quit. Continue in prayer. Would you turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 1? I want to show you an example of a lady that just wouldn't quit praying. Very famous example of prayer. Her name is Hannah. And she knew what it was to continue in prayer and not to be discouraged, not to quit, not let anybody get her to stop. And I want to begin reading here in verse number 9 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as, and notice these next three words, she continued praying. We are to continue in prayer. She is a woman in agony. She is a woman who has been reproached by her enemy over and over again, because back then, if you were a lady, a married lady, and you didn't have a baby, they thought you were under the curse of God or something. They were wrong, but it's what they thought. It was a tremendous, tremendous reproach, and she wanted to have a child in the worst way. And she continued praying about that matter before the Lord, that Eli the priest marked her mouth. Verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Now there's an interesting little statement God has put in the Bible about prayer. You don't have to pray out loud. If you want to go in your prayer closet, pray out loud, that's fine. Of course, we pray out loud at church and so on and so forth. But besides having a prayer time with God every morning or every night, wherever you choose, whatever you can do, we need to not only have a prayer time, but we need to have a prayer life. And that is where we continue in an attitude and a spirit of prayer all day long. Whether you're working on the construction site, driving your car, washing dishes, or whatever, we ought to perpetually be in a spirit of prayer where we not only have our prayer time, but we don't leave God back in the prayer closet. We take Him with us all day long. And we are in communion with God as the Holy Spirit prompts us all day long to pray for people, to pray for things, missionaries, the church, your needs, whatever it might be. We need to have this perpetual prayer life. Now, notice God can answer prayers that are not said audibly. It says her lips moved, but no words came out. Isn't that nice to know? If you go to the factory, you can pray to God quietly, and God can hear the words of your heart. I mean, you start praying out loud at the factory, they might put you in a padded cell or something like that, or in school. You can pray in school, amen? You can pray in the house. You can pray driving the car. And wherever you can pray, you don't have to pray out loud. But she continued praying. Now, Eli, he was not a very good priest at all. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, that seems to imply to me that maybe this was kind of an unusual sight at the temple that day. How sad. The temple should have been packed with people who were praying. But it seems like he was observing something that was unusual. Some lady who just seemed to be in agony and her lips were moving. Nothing was coming out. And he... His discernment was askewed. He said in verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. What a horrible thing for a minister to say to a lady. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my complaint. My soul, rather, before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Boy, that's faith. Right there. And they arose in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Do you understand that history can be changed by a person's prayers? What if she had not prayed? There would not have been a Samuel. We are not Calvinists here. We do not just believe what will be. We believe things change by prayer. And I want you to notice some of the statements. You talk about a woman praying. I don't know if you can keep up with me, but I want to just point out some of the statements of this text. Think of this now. Verse 10, in bitterness of soul. Verse 11, she vowed a vow. Verse 12, she continued praying. Verse 13, she spake in her heart. Verse 15, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Verse 15, poured out my soul. Verse 16, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief. Wow, look at those statements that describe her prayer life. What would describe our prayer life if it was written? Sometimes you go to a prayer meeting and you just about fall asleep while the other person's praying. Why? It's boring. Man, did you ever get with it when you prayed? These were the things God wanted to point out about this woman's prayer. Out of the abundance of her complaint and her grief, she prayed. I mean, she was praying so fervently that that backslidden priest thought, she's drunk. But these are the kind of prayers that move God. And what happened when people prayed continually? In this story, a prophet is given to Israel because a mother continued in prayer. And sometimes he's called the first prophet of Israel. His name is Samuel. Two books of the Bible are named after him. Why? Because a woman prayed, and she prayed continually, and she prayed until she got her answer. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Do you understand today that your prayers are either making history or your lack of prayer is keeping history from happening? Man, that ought to affect us. There is somebody whose life could be changed if we would pray for them continually. There are souls that could be saved if we would pray for them continually. There is power, and we're going to get to a few more of these things here this morning, that could be lent to the church by God if people prayed continually. We are either writing history by our prayers, we are either changing history. You understand that every one of us today could get a hold of God and get one unsaved person on a prayer list and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. And God would be under the obligations of his own promises to save that person's soul. There has never been anyone saved by the grace of God, but that someone hadn't previously prayed for them to be saved. I don't care who you are. You look far back in your testimony before you were saved. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was. And we are keeping people from being saved. We are sending people to hell because we are not praying for them. But if you and I could get a hold of God for somebody, if every one of us could leave this room today and put one person we know who's unsaved and get alone with God and beg God and say, God, I'm not going to stop praying until you save this person's soul. I was listening to one of the old-time preachers, and a tremendous, tremendous sermon. Back in the 60s, he had a church. It was quite a large church. And inside of the church, it ran thousands of people. Inside of the church, there were 31 wives who had unsaved husbands. 31. Their husbands were unsaved. Their husbands didn't go to church. He said, I want every one of their names. And he wrote down the names of those 31 men. He gave them to everybody in the church. He said, we're not going to visit these men. We're not going to contact these men. We're not going to bother these men. We're going to obey the scriptures when it says they will be one without the word. 1 Peter chapter 3. In 30 days, 29 out of the 31 came of their own will, their own volition, to the church to find out how to be saved. And 29 out of 31 men were saved in 1 month's time. Because of prayer. We're either making history with our prayers or we're keeping history from being made by our lack of prayer. Continue in prayer. What history has ever been written by your prayer life in somebody else? I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Who are these? Verse 13, the 11 apostles that were left. Judas had killed himself. So you had the apostles in verse 13. These, verse 14, all, and here's our word today, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. That's all those women that followed Christ all through Galilee, that ministered to him of their substance. We know some of their names. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, amen, she was there at prayer meeting. And with his brethren, these were the guys that hadn't believed on him before the resurrection, but became believers, including Jude and James, who would later write the epistle of Jude, and James would write the epistle of James in the New Testament. Those were Christ's half-brothers. Joseph and Mary were their parents. They didn't believe, but they became believers. Amen. And so you got family together, you got parents together, women together, leaders of the church together, and these all continued in prayer. Now, to make a long story short, the Lord had told them back on the day of ascension to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. When did ascension take place? 40 days. 40 days, all right, after the resurrection was the ascension of Christ from Bethany into heaven. This prayer is answered on the day of Pentecost. How many days after the resurrection was Pentecost? What does Pentecost mean? What does penta mean? 5 or Pentecost 50. So they receive a commandment from the Lord to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. All right? 40 days after the resurrection. And they continued in prayer and supplication in one accord until the 50th day. How many days is that? This is real deep math. What is 50 minus 40? Anybody got a clue? How many days? 10. They had a 10-day prayer meeting. You know something? You can get your heart pretty right with God in 10 days of prayer. And you can get your church pretty right with God in 10 days of prayer. I remember old time, Miss Gudana is just here for a special reason today. I remember a camp meeting years ago. I don't remember which one it was. It was a long time ago, but they had asked previously before the camp meeting that nobody watch television for 7 days before camp. Or throughout the camp time, but rather spend the day in prayer. That was one of the best camp meetings I ever remember going to. Can you imagine if we got together for 10 straight days and prayed, all of us just got right with God? Can you imagine that? What would happen? The power of God came. The power of God. What if they had not prayed? Do you think you'd have sent the power of God anyway? I don't think so. They were an obedient people. And they began praying on Ascension Day, and they continued to pray until the Pentecostal day. And what happened that day? The Holy Ghost and power was given. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They're still there 10 days later. Now, I know they took care of a little bit of church business in between, but basically the women and the brethren and the disciples just prayed and prayed and prayed. And they said, the Lord just said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. He said that right before he ascended. And so they did that. And what happened? And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the rest of the chapter goes on and tells about the languages that they were able to preach the gospel in, languages they had never previously studied. But the fact is, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That means the men, the women. Verse 17, when Peter was trying to describe what happened, he quotes the Old Testament prophet Joel, and he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith my God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on mine handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And boy, what a day they had. As you know, when you get down to verse number 41, we actually read the account that as a result, they got out of the house and they got out among the people, and thousands of people had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. Jewish people that had come to worship. They had learned other languages. They'd forgotten Hebrew by now. And they got to hear the gospel in their own languages. And 3,000 in verse 41 are saved and baptized in one day. Man, that is a church right in history right there. Something's happening. Something supernatural happens when this church continues in prayer. And again, you and I are writing history, or else history is not happening. But we see what happens when people continued in prayer. The Holy Ghost and the power of God are given. Well, let's go on. Number three, I want you to notice now they start getting all these converts. The church starts growing. 3,000 are saved. And verse 22 says, and they continued. Now, there's our theme word for the year. Steadfastly in all kinds of things, including at the end of verse 42, prayers. They continued in prayers. They said, wow, that was really something, what God did when we prayed. And we got our hearts right with God. And man, we saw 3,000 people converted and 3,000 people baptized. And thousands of people came and heard the gospel. And because we prayed, we saw we were a part of supernatural history. But now, number three, the new converts continue praying. They continue, it says, steadfastly in prayers. Not in and out, not in and out. Not stop and go and stop and go and stop and go and stop and go. And then we get inspired by a sermon at church and say, boy, I need to start praying again. You know, inspiration lasts about as long as a summer tan. And we have got to stop making inspirational and emotional decisions about sermons we hear and start making spiritual decisions about sermons we hear. I'm not a cheerleader, all right? I'm not up here to inspire you to, hey, give this a try. We got to make some spiritual decisions. And that's when a man or a woman says, this is it, I'm going to pray, and nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to cut things out of my life here and there and so on and so forth. I'm not going to spend the hours in the media and the internet and the television, the cable and the direct TV and texting forever and ever and ever. I'm going to pray. I am going to explore the rest of my life and see what God will do through me if I pray. And I'd hate to get to the end of my life and say, man, have God reveal what he wanted to do. We've got to stop this stop, start, stop, start. They continued steadfastly, verse 42, in prayers. And what was the answer to their prayers? Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And here it is in the word, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were saved. So Hannah prayed. And God gave Israel a prophet. The first church prayed, and God gave Israel the Holy Ghost and the power of God. The converts prayed continually and steadfastly, and God gave them more and more souls. Every day, people were getting saved. And then I want you to notice also in chapter 6, and we'll close with this. It says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves, here it is, continually, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. One of the most despicable things in America today is the prayer life of pastors. They should be disqualified and tossed out of the ministry. You know what it is? 5 minutes. That's the pastors. 5 minutes of prayer a day average. That's the pastors. You wonder what's wrong with America? Quit wondering. I'll tell you what's wrong. We're not praying. But the early leaders of the church said what? We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what was the result when people prayed? Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Man, talk about having an effect. A whole bunch of the unsaved clergymen of their day started getting saved. The word of God increased. That doesn't mean God started writing more and more books. It means that its influence began to spread all over the place. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. In closing, turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. I've shown you a few things today from history. What happened when people prayed continually? Hannah got a son, and she gave the son to the Lord. He became Samuel, the great prophet. The first church got the power of God, and the Holy Ghost came upon them and their sons, their daughters. They were all affected, and they saw 3,000 saved. Then the new converts continued praying steadfastly. Imagine a new convert continuing to pray steadfastly. When's the last time you saw that? Usually you don't even see the new convert after they get saved. You wonder what in the world happened to them. You wonder if they even get saved. Can you imagine these new converts? They continued steadfastly in prayers. And more souls were given to the church daily because they had continued in prayer. And I notice here when the leaders prayed continually. You see, in Acts 6, they were getting distracted by all kinds of ministry. And a lot of times we get so many ministries going in churches that the Great Commission becomes the Great Commotion. We're just full of all kinds of ministries, and it looks like, wow, things are really happening, but nobody's getting saved. The Great Commission isn't getting outside the walls of the church, but everybody's busy inside of the church. We've got to watch out for that. The leaders prayed continually, and what happened? The influence and the numbers grew. And even unsaved clergymen started getting saved back then. Great number of priests believed. Wow, that's power. But there's no substitute for continual prayer. That's one thing you just can't fake. You can't fake whether you're praying or not. Romans 12:12 says this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, instant in prayer. My challenge to you today, and I'm talking to those of you that are believers, if you're not saved, you know, I hope you'll pray a prayer of salvation today and ask the Lord to be your Savior. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. But for those of you that are saved, it says continuing instant in prayer. That means just let God prompt you anytime. Just whenever God wants you to pray about somebody. Man, Brother Reuben Ewer came into my mind yesterday. He had to put his wife in a home because of her Alzheimer's, and I just hadn't thought about it in a while. The Holy Ghost brings that to your mind. You start praying for him. Pastor Hal Roscoe out here in Chilai, Bible Baptist Church. His wife's only 1 or 2 days away from eternity. Her cancer is so bad. I tried to put myself in his shoes yesterday and think, what would it be like if my wife would only be with me 1 or 2 more days, and she'll probably have her funeral here soon. Such a wonderful pastor he is. Doing a great job out there near Rochester and having that on his heart. He needs prayer. He needs prayer. Continuing instant prayer, just letting the Holy Ghost just prompt you to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and never stop. Never stop praying. Lost person comes in your mind, pray for him. You hear somebody cursing God and using profanity, pray for him. They need to be saved. Feel for them. Somebody's sick and in the hospital, pray for them. Well, I don't always get to visit the people I need to visit, but I'm always praying for them. Just come on my heart and just pray for them. Continuing instant prayer. What kind of history could you write? If you or I would become men and women of continual prayer, not stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, but continual prayer. Getting the old prayer list out. Saying, I prayed for this person for 20 years, Lord, they're still not saved. I'm still going to pray for them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, oh God. We're sorry, Lord, for our sin of omission. We think of the words, Lord, of Samuel, who would later grow up to say, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And he probably was a man of continual prayer because his mother was a mother of continual prayer. But Lord, there are sins of omission, things we should do or not doing, and we repent this morning. Lord, probably most of us could say, I'm not praying like I ought to. And Lord, I'm not trying to make people feel bad this morning. You know my heart. And I do pray that maybe this would be a startup day for somebody to get back at prayer. But Lord, my heart this morning is I know that there are people in this room, all of us, who could make history if we would pray continually. Our prayers could even save some sinners. Our prayers could heal some bodies. Our prayers could bestow grace upon people who are suffering. Our prayers could support the missionary thousands of miles away. Keep him and her in the race. Our prayers could bring down the mighty power of God on Eden and North Collins and Evans. But our lack of prayer will keep all that history from happening. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.